Good morning, it's 8:15 here on The Ticket, Monday morning with the Musers. It's June 26th, and I am back after being out last week. I've been out of town for about 10 days. I left last Friday 1 week, if that makes any sense, to participate in the Race Across America. It's a bicycle race from Oceanside, California to Annapolis, Maryland. It was born back in the early 1980s. At the time, it was just solo participants. The first race had four guys that rode from Santa Monica to New York City. They've adjusted the route slightly over the last 35 years or so, and they've added relay races. Two-man team can also take part, or a four-man team, or an eight-man team.
Did they do that to build excitement to the race?
Or they did. They absolutely did.
Let it go, okay? It was one comment in a meeting.
And I'd like to apologize right now if I'm not quite able to put sentences together, because the race was far more taxing mentally than I thought it would be. Sleep deprivation was a big player. I forgot to tell you guys this yesterday as I flew home Sunday morning, and I spent all day trying to catch up on my sleep, but my body and mind are so whacked out that it's hard for me to sleep. I got to a point over the last 2 days where I would wake up sometimes and my whole body would be vibrating.
Oh, it's hot.
And it felt like...
You left the Hitachi on?
It felt like I was in an earthquake.
What?
And then I realized my body is not shaking. It's my mind that is on vibrate mode.
Oh, my god!
And I couldn't get it to stop vibrating. And
you probably took 2 years off your life with this trip.
I don't think there's any question. So I apologize if I've got fog head as I'm trying to tell this story. And there are so many stories to tell.
Great band.
From this story. That the plan right now is to do the 8:15 segment today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And I will hopefully take you from Oceanside, California to Annapolis all the way across the country in these next three segments at 8:15 the next 3 days. Because Giorgio goes on vacation Thursday. So I want to get us to the finish line by,
I need
by
to hear
Wednesday.
I have so many questions for you, but
and
you
anytime,
go and then we'll take questions.
Well, anytime you guys have questions, fire away. We get out there on Friday, June, 16th, 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told you before I left, this was the brainchild of my friend Grant, who we've had on the show before. He's always up for a crazy endurance adventure. He's done the North Korean marathon. He's done a bunch of crazy bike rides and foot races. And it's always been his dream to do the Race Across America, but he never had an interest in doing it as a solo rider. Those guys are off their rockers.
Freaks.
Freaks!
But he has had the idea for when he turned 50. That year he turned 50, he wanted to put together an eight-man relay team with seven of his good friends. So he started recruiting all of his friends. And we were called the Nature Boys. And I finally figured out why. Because he and his friends did the Hood to Coast foot race 15 years ago. And they were sponsored by Nature Valley Granola Bars. So they just called themselves the Nature Boys. I didn't like the name in the beginning, but the more we used it last week, and maybe it was just being punch drunk delirious, I always cracked up every time I thought of our team name, and by the end of the week, we all loved it.
Nature Boys.
Boys with a Z.
Yeah, put some attitude in there for sure.
The team consisted of Grant,
hello,
me, so we're both from Dallas,
mm-hmm,
his friends from the Los Angeles area, Mark, Dino, and Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of L.A. libs.
His friend from the Lake Tahoe area, Marv.
Hey, good to be with you.
His friend from South Dakota, Jonah. And his friend from Colorado, John. So those are the eight riders.
Jonah had a whale.
Sounds like a pretty good team.
We had five in our support crew. We were understaffed when it came to the support crew. And God bless these five, because they all did it volunteer. You know what? Actually, we had five volunteers and we had two mechanics, but we had a problem with the mechanics that I'll get to here in a moment.
Oh,
they weren't certified.
But we had five support crew to drive our vehicles, make hotel reservations, take care of the riders, and they were Mark's wife Rhonda, Marv's sister Maureen, Mark, who was a friend of Marv's from Nevada City, Philip, who was Grant's, and still is, Grant's brother.
Oh, really? Still is. To this very day.
To this day. Blake, who was an 18-year-old who's about to go off to college on a lacrosse scholarship, who's into audio video, so he was super energetic. I don't think he slept for the first 54 hours because he's 18, right? And he was taking video of us and pictures, really funny kid.
And when one of you would get injured, he wouldn't help you because he doesn't want to interfere in the story that's
right.
being captured.
Right. And he had to leave eventually about Thursday, and then we flew in another friend of Dino's, Luis, who took over some of the driving duties from there out. So that was our six-man support team. And then we hired two mechanics, Xavier and Paul, and they had a big van with a big trailer on it to transport all the bikes. The problem was, we discovered when we got there that car, we thought we would have this mechanic following us the whole time. And if somebody flatted, he would jump out, fix the flat, give you a new bike. That was the idea. Mm-hmm. But then we found out that it is illegal for that van with the big trailer on it carrying all the bikes to be on the course following the riders. Only smaller vehicles can follow on the course. So he would have to always leapfrog ahead. So sometimes we would have a mechanical problem, and he'd be 100 miles down the road.
So what'd you do?
You said
to wait for him to circle back?
Well, here's how we would do it. This is an 8-man relay team, and going in, I thought, all right, it's 8-man team. I'm going to ride for an hour, and then I'll have 7 hours off.
Sounds pretty good.
Plenty of time to recover, take a nap, read a book, see the countryside. But logistically, because of the trailer issue, and we also had an RV, but that's too big a vehicle to follow in the race caravan as well, so it has to always leapfrog ahead. Logistically, we decided, all right, those two can't be with us. We have two other cars in our fleet, two minivans, basically. They have to be the ones following the riders, but they can't carry all 8 riders. What we're going to have to do is split our 8-man team into 2 4-man teams or 4-man pods. And a lot of the 8-man relay teams do this. Some of them split into two groups of 4 or 4 groups of 2. And that way you're giving some people extended breaks. So in other words, this is what we did. We split into 2 4-man teams. It was me, Grant, Jonah, and John in one team. And driving for us were Maureen and Greg. I'm sorry. I think I said Mark was Marv's buddy from Nevada City. It was Greg.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm going to get a lot wrong here because I'm going on no sleep for a week. So Greg and Maureen were our drivers. So it was the 6 of us that were in one pod. Then in the other pod, you had the 4 other riders, and you had their 2 drivers, Rhonda and Philip. So what we did was we first sent that team of 4 way ahead. You guys drive down the road, get a hotel room. We'll pull a 12 to 14-hour shift here on the road. When we get to the hotel, you'll have the rooms for us. You guys will then take over and do a 10, 14-hour shift, whatever. We'll get the rooms. We'll sleep. We'll shower. We'll get up. Then we'll chase you down the road.
Okay. Sounds reasonable.
That sounded like the best plan. The race starts on Saturday, the 17th, June 17th, in Oceanside, California at noon. The solo riders left a few days before that, but all the relay teams started in Oceanside, and that was such a great scene. I posted as many pictures as I could on Instagram. I'm at June's Miller if you want to see some of the pictures. The start at Oceanside, right there on the beach, palm trees everywhere. It was sunny and 70 degrees. Really big crowd turned out to wish the riders well. All the teams are there. Very international event. There were teams from Germany and Australia and Great Britain and, of course, a bunch from America and Canada. It was a really international event, so you had flags flying. It was really, really cool, and everybody's fresh and rested and fit and ready to go, right?
Yeah.
We start at noon, and we incur a penalty before the race starts. Because in the start shoot, as we all lined up, you're supposed to have your 8 riders and 1 official follow van. Well, our follow van got directed by a race official to the wrong lot. So by the time they figured out what was going on, they wouldn't let them back in line. So we already got a 1-hour penalty that they would assess much later down the road in Kansas, which we'll get to.
Oh, so you didn't find out about that penalty until later?
Not until about a half a day later.
Man.
We knew we were probably in trouble, though.
Okay.
But we thought we could get out of it. Anyway, they bring us up to the line at 12:20 or whatever it was. They started the relay teams in one-minute increments. So at 12:20, it's time for Team 804, the Nature Boys, and we come to the line, all eight of us. They take pictures, and we're off. And now our official time starts. So we all eight ride together for the first 7 miles, and then we basically start the alternating thing. The first 25 to 30 miles were so chaotic in the two vans. We're trying to follow directions. The race gives every team 8 race Bibles, complete with turn-by-turn directions across the country. Because this event, the course is not closed. The course is not marked. There are no officials on the course. They just give you a book of turn-by-turn directions, and you are set out on your own in America on the open roads with cars and whatever else you're going to encounter, and you got to figure it out yourself. It's the only sporting event I know that pits you against everything out there. Nature in the form of animals that might run in front of you in the middle of the night, which happened, or weather. We experienced everything from the most extreme heat wave in the desert southwest that they've had in 20 years to riding through a tropical storm in West Virginia to having to worry about cars. You're on the open road. I don't know any other sporting event that puts you out there like this to battle it all. So in the first 25 minutes, tempers are already flaring, and the navigator's yelling at the driver, and the rider is yelling at the navigator, and we're losing cell communication, and we can't figure out where the other van is, and we're not sure where to pick up this rider. And so my first thought was, two hours into this, oh my God, if it's going to be like this for the next 7 days, we're all going to kill each other. Everybody's going to kill each other.
When did you first get on the bike? When was your, I mean, after that initial where everyone rode, when was your first, I'm by myself, riding the thing?
Well, eventually when we got out of Oceanside, we sent the other four ahead.
Okay.
But now, we all took a turn first because everybody wanted to ride.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, my brain is foggy, but I think we all took at least one or two turns to begin with, and then we sent those other four down the road. So now it's me, Grant, Jonah, and John with our drivers, Greg and Maureen, and it's the four of us now for the next 12 to 14 hours.
Wow.
We get out of Oceanside. We're going through Southern California. We have to go up this big climb, Palomar, which is a very famous climb for riders in Southern California, and I had to go up one of the steepest pitches of it, and it was about 112 degrees. My bike computer was showing me the temperature. I'm going up it, and I must have lost 50 pounds in water weight. And I'm already exerting myself because all of us, when we got out there, even though the advice was, you guys just take it nice and easy because we got 7 days ahead of us, but we're all competitive, and we don't want to let the other guys down, so we don't want to get out there and creep along. So all eight of us, when it was our turn, we're pretty much riding balls out, and that's a really bad idea. But all of us, for the first couple of days, we're going balls out because you're thinking, I'm just out here. I'm out here for 30 or 45 minutes. That's what our shifts were. So we're split into four-man teams, and I'm riding every 30 to 45 minutes. If it's a really steep climb, we just kept the guy out there for 25, 30 minutes because it was too much exertion. If it was a downhill, maybe he got to ride for 45 minutes or even an hour, or a flat stretch of road. Bunch of big climbs to get out of Southern California. Once you get over those climbs, this is day one now, Saturday night, you get into the Southern California desert. This was really weird and eerie. We were really happy when the sun went down because it stopped frying us, our bodies and our brains. But now you're riding at night. So in that first day, we got to experience a heat wave, and we're looking at the weather reports. And in Phoenix, they closed down the airport because it was too hot for planes to take off and
right.
land.
Isn't that amazing?
I'd never heard of that.
I hadn't either.
And when we saw the headlines, extreme heat wave for Phoenix, I thought, well, what are we in for? I thought every day was an extreme heat wave for Phoenix. Well, temperatures for the next day and a half on the road, we were routinely riding in 110 to 115 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
During the night in the desert, we were riding in 100 degree. It would cool off to 100 at night.
Oh, man.
But at
I
least,
didn't think that's humanly possible.
You know, I didn't
if
think
If you're in
was,
115 degree weather, exerting yourself, I don't think you can get enough water in you. At least I wouldn't think so. Obviously, you survived.
It's very difficult. Yeah, you have to really stay on top of your water and your nutrition.
Did you cramp up or anything, or
no,
shake-legged? Or
no, I didn't. You know, if our legs had been 2 hours or 3 hours each, I think that would have happened. But we were okay, and once nighttime rolled around, you're just on a long, flat desert road. And I have to say, the one thing I was most worried about was riding at night, along with sleep deprivation, because my night vision isn't great. But riding at night was a blast.
Really?
It was awesome. You've got a follow vehicle. It's race rules that you have to have a follow vehicle behind you at night. So their headlights are on. Every bike has to have a headlight, so you're on. So your visibility is actually very, very, very good. And it was just so much fun to not be in the sun. Now, I'll get to later in the race when you have your second and third night shift in a row. It's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to play games with your mind. But the first night, we were all on a high riding at night. You can go fast, a lot faster than I thought you could go. You've got the stars. We're out in the California desert, and you've just got a billion stars to look at. That was fun.
Billion.
You've got the weird quietness of the desert, and it's surreal. A couple times when the wind picked up, you'd have sand blown across the road. You're seeing weird animals.
Yeah, were you afraid a coyote would run out and jack you?
We saw
or
so
that,
much.
Would that be welcomed?
We saw so much roadkill that it's unreal, the roadkill we saw. And especially in the desert, you'd see a lot of carcasses picked clean.
Did you create any roadkill? Did you run over any armadillos or rattlers or anything?
I almost hit a possum in West Virginia that we'll get to on Wednesday.
I'm insane now.
We saw alien dune buggies. Have you ever heard of these things?
Like real UFOs that had dune buggies?
Guys riding in the desert with these giant kites, and on the top of the kite they had all these weird lights that made it look like a UFO going through the desert. And that's a thing in the California desert. These guys, they're alien dune buggies, and they ride around to make people think they're seeing UFOs.
Really? Yes. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Wow, you're on a dark desert highway.
That's right.
Cool wind in your hair.
Mm-hmm. That night, we eventually got to where the other foursome was in Parker, Arizona. We got there at 3 a.m. So our shift was, for the most part, a 15-hour shift. We started at noon on Saturday. We arrived in Parker, Arizona on Sunday morning at 3 a.m. And then the other foursome took over. So it was time for our four riders and our two drivers to get some sleep. And immediately the thing that dawned on me is that there is going to be no downtime in this event. And that was the most surprising thing, because as I told you, I thought I'd ride for an hour, get 7 hours off, and I'd have plenty of downtime. I even brought a couple of magazines and a couple of books. Over the 7 days, I did not even consider cracking one of those. Because you are always thinking about something, and you're always having to do something. So when you're in the van, when you're one of the four people, you are either riding, which that's the only mental break you really have is riding, or you get back in the van and you're immediately thinking about, okay, I have to, first of all, I've got to eat and drink. So you try to stay on top of your nutrition. Then you're thinking, I also have to charge my headlight and my taillight, because if those go out, it's a penalty. You can't ride without one.
Mm.
So you always have to stay on top of charging that, charging your bike computer. So in our vans, we had little charger stations set up. But with sleep deprivation, after a while, you start forgetting about these things. And you'll go 10 hours and you'll think, oh, wait, I haven't charged my headlight, and it usually doesn't last 10 hours. And then you panic.
Because you're going to get the whole team penalized.
Yes. Then after you're... After that first segment where you've just ridden and you now get to decompress in the back seat, but you're thinking about your nutrition and charging and whatnot, then it's the next guy's turn, say 30 or 45 minutes later. So now you have to move to the front seat and you're the navigator for the driver. The rules are you always have to have two people up front. You got to keep the driver awake and vice versa. And you have to navigate because you have this confusing book of directions. So the next guy is on the road, and so now you're just locked in with driving, with mileage points, with trying to give the driver directions. Okay, here in 0.2 miles, there should be a Dairy Queen. We're supposed to turn right. So your mind is totally locked in there.
You have radios that are talking to the cyclist, or are y'all just yelling out the window?
We're just yelling out the window. Our radios, nobody used them because you couldn't really hear very well.
Uh-huh.
That was the plan, but as we found out, a million of our plans went up in smoke. Well, then when you're done navigating, now the next rider, the third rider, is on the road, but you're next up. So now you have 30 or 40 minutes to get yourself ready. So you've got to go in the back seat, or at some point you have to put your bike clothes back on. You have to refill your water bottle. You have to make sure your lights are all charged and with you and ready to go. You have to look at the direction book to know where you're going, just in case you can't hear the directions from behind. And it goes
just
so fast.
Nonstop.
And it goes so fast, and suddenly it's your turn again. So you get out of the car, you get your bike, you start the computer, you put your water bottle on there, you put whatever nutrition you might need in your back pocket, and you got to go.
Hamburger.
And it's that cycle for 15 hours in a row. And you'll ride, you'll get maybe four, five, six different rides. Well, when you finally get to your first stop, like we did in Parker, Arizona, you're shattered. You're mentally cooked. So you have no time to do anything. You think about calling people. I remember that first night I was sharing a room with Jonah, and he said, let's go eat dinner. I said, okay, but we all got to shower first because we're a mess. And by the way, we only have about 5 hours at the hotel before we have to get going again. So he showers, and then it's my turn. I get in the shower. When I come out, he's out like a light on the bed. And he wanted to go eat, and we all needed to eat. But he was out. And so I think we ate that night for about 45 minutes, and then I got about 2 hours of sleep. And you can't sleep very long because, keep in mind, the other foursome are up the road. They're riding to the next destination, the next checkpoint. We have to get back in the RV now, not the two vans. The vans are following the other riders. We have to get back in the RV and catch up to them, which was usually a four-hour drive in the RV to catch up to the next transition point where we would take over. So you might have an 11-hour break at that hotel, but you've got to leave 4 hours early to catch up to the next foursome. You have to get a shower. You have to eat a little bit. So you never really got much more than 2 or 3 hours of sleep.
What'd you do with your swamp clothes that you've been riding in?
Yeah, I bet you those vans smelled like crotch.
Hopefully I'll get to that tomorrow. I was able to do laundry midweek. But yes, that's the first day.
Y'all need to throw a washing machine on. And yeah, I'm already worn out. We're not even out of Arizona yet.
We're in Parker, Arizona. I'm getting 3 hours of sleep, and now we've got to get up and catch those guys at the next stop, which was Flagstaff, Arizona, about 4 hours up the road near the Grand Canyon, and I'll pick up the story there tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll take you through the Rocky Mountains, the desert Southwest, and also into Kansas where we had the big penalty, and hopefully I can get us into the Midwest tomorrow as well. That's part one of a special three-part series on my participation in the Race Across America.